Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marcy Cheek. Welcome to my show. I call my show Say What? Sometimes because I think, people might think, what's that crazy woman saying? But also it's the what and the when and the where and the why of things. I've been asking why my whole life. But after having done weddings now for 19 years, I know a lot of the whys as far as the wedding business goes. And tonight I wanted to talk about vow renewals. I have done a lot of vow renewals over the last 19 years. And last week I did a vow renewal for a couple who had been married 27 years. They had had two children, and then they decided to divorce. And they were apart for 5 years. But neither one of them really had any kind of a relationship with anybody else during these 5 years. And last Tuesday, I remarried them on the sand at the edge of the ocean in Laguna Beach. The bride had asked her sister to stand up with her, so the groom had the bride's sister's husband stand up with him, and there were just the four of them. The groom and the best man were dressed in black slacks with crisp creases and a black belt and white shirts open at the neck with no tie. And the bride wore a soft gray chiffon two-piece dress with a long flowing skirt, and she chose a red rose bridal bouquet with the stems wrapped in gray chiffon that had a long sash hanging down. And her sister also wore a gray and black two-piece outfit. And it was a gorgeous day here in California. You know, sometimes I don't think it can ever be any better here. And then we have a day like we had last Tuesday. I mean, the sky was just so intensely blue. And the ocean was calm, very calm and glassy, with just tiny whisper waves at the shore. There was no breeze, and it was a delightful 75 degrees. Now, in October, the sun is making its yearly progression from it being in the due west to setting in a more southwest location, which makes it set behind Catalina Island. And we did the ceremony at 4:30, which was about 2 hours before the sunset. So we started out with the sun bright in the southwest sky. And the moon was coming on to full that night, and it was already up in the eastern sky. And when I announced them as husband and wife, I said, "Earth, sea, and sky, sun, moon, and stars, and all beings visible and invisible, may I now present to you again, Mr. and Mrs. Lumen." Now, this couple's story was one of going through a really rough patch. And since they had gotten their children raised, they decided they would go their separate ways. But you know what? 27 years is a long time. And in 27 years, a couple will establish strong bonds with one another. And they will have well-worn habit patterns of dependency and support that are missed when they're no longer together. So they tried it on their own for 5 years, looking into things they thought they wanted to do and experience apart from the other one. But when it came right down to it, after 5 years, they decided they really missed each other and that they were much happier when they were together. The husband said in his personal statement to his wife that his life just wasn't complete without her in it. And the wife said in her personal statement, "I've got my old Frank back, and I couldn't be happier." And also the bride told me that when she first introduced him to her dad, that her dad didn't like him. But as the time progressed, her dad changed his mind. And since her dad was now passed, she had me say when she was presented herself at our altar we put up at the beach, "Frank, Marie's dad wants to know if you are kidnapping his daughter again." And he just howled. Now, the bride seemed to be a very shy person to me. She told me after the ceremony that it was hard for her to be so public with her feelings, and it was hard for her to be the center of attention, too. She could hardly walk down the aisle. She almost stumbled and kept looking all around like she was pleading for someone to come and rescue her. And she had wanted to have a guitarist play for the ceremony, and so I had hired my best guitarist, who also sings and performs regularly here in Orange County. So the song we started everything with was Dean Martin's "Return to Me." So Rich played the guitar and sang, "Return to me, oh my dear, I'm so lonely. Hurry back, hurry back. Oh my love, hurry back, I am yours. Return to me, for my heart wants you only. Hurry home, won't you please hurry home to my to my heart. My darling, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please say you are mine. Return to me. Please come back, Bella Mia. Hurry back to my arms, to my lips and my heart." She's crying, crying. Then the guitarist played and sang "Stand By Me" by Benny King. So, oh my darling, stand by me, stand by me, stand by me. Whenever you're in trouble, stand by me, oh stand by me. And then when I introduced them as husband and wife again, the guitarist played and sang "At Last" by Etta James. And, of course, this is one of the most requested song I have, whether it's a vow renewal and many, many times for weddings. "At last my love has come along. My lonely days are over and life is like a song. Oh yeah, at last the skies above are blue. My heart is wrapped up in clover when I look at you. I found a dream that I could speak to, a dream that I can call my own. I found a thrill to press my cheek to, a thrill that I have never known. Your smile, you smile, and then, oh, the spell is cast, and here we are in heaven, for you are mine at last." So this woman cried on and off all during the ceremony at the beginning, and fortunately she hadn't worn a lot of makeup, so she didn't get those big long streaks down her cheeks that I see on lots of other brides. But all through the tears, she was smiling, 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 and then when it came time for them to say their vows, it was the groom who couldn't get the words out without tears welling up from his heart. And as he haltingly spoke his words to her, I could feel his deep, deep love for her, an intense and monogamous love in his heart for her. And then when it was time for her to say her vows, by then she had gotten all the tears out, and she spoke with a strong voice and with smiles and smiles. And when they kissed, they hugged and hugged and hugged one another like they never, ever again wanted to ever let go. Well, to me, the strangest part of this vow renewal is that the couple doesn't live together right now. I mean, early on in my ministry, it took me a little while to get used to the fact that couples were already living together and had been living together for quite some time by the time they decide to actually get married. And actually, here in California, we have a confidential marriage license that requires that the couple be living together, and they have to prove it by their driver's licenses having the same address. But this woman lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, and the groom lives in Akron, Ohio. So I asked the groom while we were waiting for the bride, where are you two going to live? And he said, well, in my condo, of course. I have a huge condo in a very fancy neighborhood in Akron, Ohio, so why wouldn't we live there? So I sent the groom and his best man on down to the sand, and the photographer and I waited for the bride and her sister. Now, before she arrived, the groom told me, he says, you know, some things never change, and she's never been on time to anything in her life, and she probably won't be on time for this today. So I said, that's no problem. I said, the credo of my company is we wait for the bride never waits for us, and the job starts when the bride arrives. Well, when she arrived, after some chatting, I said to her, Frank says you don't live together yet. Are you two having trouble deciding where to live? And she said, there's no trouble on my part. I love Scottsdale, Arizona. So I'm seeing that perhaps the way this remarriage is going to work is for them to live their winters in Scottsdale and their summers in Akron and perhaps continue to have some alone time in their respective abodes. When I did the vows, I said, Frank, knowing what you know now, do you still intend to devote all of yourself to Marie and to Marie only in marriage again? And he said yes. And I said, Maria, knowing what you know now, do you still intend to devote all of yourself to Frank and to Frank only in marriage again? And she said yes. And in California, it is the intent of the couple spoken in the presence of witnesses that makes the marriage legal. And, of course, her sister and her sister's husband heard them say yes. My most enjoyable vow renewal this year was for Rose and Ronnie Lee, and they were celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. And they chose for their song, I'll Still Be Loving You by Restless Heart. Changing my life with your love has been so easy for me, and I'm amazed every day, and I'll need you till all the mountains are valleys and every ocean is dry, my love. I'll be yours until the sun doesn't shine, till time stands still, until the winds don't blow. When today is just a memory, I know I'll still be loving you. I'll still be loving you. I'll still be loving you. It's been my experience over the years that the bride and groom pick out their music usually based upon the words of the song. But at the actual ceremony, they really don't ever hear it. They might hear one or two notes, and then when they know that the song is playing, they put their attention in the moment and are trying to take in all of the emotions and the feelings that they are experiencing right then. And many times they've chosen a musician who's just going to play the instrument, you know, like the violin or cello, sax, and guitar, so we wouldn't have the words anyway, just the melody. But all through these 19 years, brides and grooms and husbands and wives doing a vow renewal have taken a lot of time to choose just the right song for their ceremony. Now, I have a vow renewal questionnaire that I have all of my couples fill out. And so I thought I would go through these questions and while I tell you about Rose and Ronnie Lee's ceremony. First is, when and where were you married? Because I always give this information at the beginning to the guests. And then I ask, do you, either of you have any specific religious faith? If they do, then this helps me to know whether to use a Bible verse in the ceremony and whether to offer a prayer and a blessing for the couple. And then nickname for wife and nickname for husband. Because many times, and especially, you know, in a 25-year vow renewal ceremony and longer, a couple will want to use their pet nickname to re-say their vows, because by 25 years, that nickname has more meaning many times than their real name. And in Rose and Ronnie Lee's case, she had always called him by his last name, Meadows. And Ronnie Lee's pet name for her is Puss. But we used Rosalie and Meadows for the vows. Now, Rose has never taken Ronnie Lee's last name. She kept her family name. So perhaps that is why she calls him by his last name. It's kind of her way to assure him that she honors him and that her life with him is as his wife. Next question, do you have children and the names and the ages? Now, in Rose and Ronnie Lee's case, Ronnie Lee had been married before and had two boys. And he had been divorced over 12 years, and his boys were nearly raised when he met Rose. And soon after they were married, they had a little girl. And Ronnie Lee was ecstatic. He had always wanted a girl, and he actually was the first one to feed her, because Rose had to stay in the hospital a little longer than usual after the birth of the baby. So Ronnie Lee just put up a cot and slept by her side the entire time she was in the hospital and fed the baby every day. And then later on, their daughter's best friend's mother called them to say that she was terminally ill. And when she died, would Ronnie Lee and Rose take her daughter and take care of her, because the girl's father had died soon after she'd been born, and there was no one else to take her. So Ronnie Lee and Rose said yes, and the papers were drawn up, and they were no more signed than that mother died. So now Ronnie Lee and Rose had the two girls. So next question is, how is the wife a good mother and how is the husband a good father? So Rose said, Ronnie Lee is a studier. When I said this in the ceremony, Ronnie Lee just laughed out loud. But she says that he studies everything. And then he makes a decision. And the decision is always the right decision for everyone concerned, and it always has been. And then Rose said that Ronnie Lee is an excellent provider. He always has the family's best interests in mind in everything that he does. She says he always makes sure that all of us have everything that we need. Well, Ronnie Lee is sort of a quiet person and doesn't say too much. So to answer this question, Ronnie Lee just said that Rose is very loving. Now, when you think about that, what more would need to be said about a mother? Next question, how did you meet? So they both told me they met at a disco club, and that Rose said she was sitting at the bar and sort of bebopping to the music. And Ronnie Lee came up and stretched out his hand to invite her to dance. And she says she can still feel that moment after all these years, because she said she thought at that moment that he was so handsome. And what originally attracted you to one another? Ronnie Lee said that Rose is beautiful to him, and he liked her height. Now, for your information, Rose is barely 5 feet tall. Even in her high heels, she didn't even reach my heart. And Ronnie Lee is 6 foot. And I think he loved it that she was tiny, maybe because he had always wanted a little girl. So he got Rose and his daughter and his daughter's best friend, a triple bonus. And Rose says she still thinks that Ronnie Lee is so handsome. Rose walked down the aisle with those two girls on either side. And then, how is your marriage a good marriage? Ronnie Lee said, because they are such opposites. He is quiet and she's the social butterfly. He calls her a people person. And Rose says that Ronnie Lee allows her to just be herself, even when it drives him crazy. And next question, how do you resolve conflict? Now, both said that they had learned to talk to each other, and both said they had learned to listen to each other. And because they love one another, they want to work things out, so they do. So what has been the most outstanding moment in your marriage? Both said that the birth of their daughter, and then the second most wonderful moment was becoming step-parents to their daughter's best friend. What are the three most favorite things to do together? And both of them said, see, I have these, have them fill this out independent of one another, and supposedly so each of them doesn't see what the other one wrote, because then I say what they said in the ceremony, and they love that. So both said going to dinner, spending time with the girls, and just spending time together. And what are you looking forward to in the next 25 years? And Ronnie Lee said good health and another 25 years with Rose. And Rose said retiring from working and doing some traveling, and maybe someday, not too soon, but eventually someday, having some grandchildren. And I said this part to the girls who were standing next to me, and I emphasized, not too soon now, but eventually some grandchildren. What does he or she do that makes your heart sing? And Ronnie Lee said that just being married to Rose makes his heart sing every day. And Rose said, I still love to look at him because I think he's so handsome. And we aren't in an especially mushy type of couple, but I know that he will always be there for me and our family. And that makes me feel very safe and secure. For her vow renewal, Rose got a gorgeous wedding gown. And being so small, she was nearly swallowed up in all the layers of the dress because it had this huge bouffant skirt with layers of ruffles and a long train. And it had long sleeves and a sweetheart neck, and she wore a classic one-strand pearl necklace and pearl earrings. So elegant. But let me tell you, her ring was a gorgeous big diamond with side baguettes. And Ronnie Lee's ring also had 5 small diamonds in a row on the face of it. And those rings sparkled and sparkled during our ceremony on the cliff overlooking the ocean. And then after the ceremony, the newly remarried couple and their 40 guests all went to the beach house down the street from where we did the ceremony on the cliff at Rock Bench. Actually, that part of the park actually has a big, real rock bench that seats about 15 people. And they went down to the beach house, and it is an oceanfront restaurant that has a private room upstairs with windows all around on three sides facing the ocean, full ocean view, and the windows are all open with the sound of the waves coming in the windows. And this restaurant also features gorgeous crystal cobalt blue water goblets and beautifully flowered china for the place setting, so you just don't even need any further decorations on your table there. Now, my package for them at the park included the permit to use the location for 2 hours, 2 hours of professional photography, a live violinist to stroll and play for the processional, a videographer so they can watch themselves say their vows from now on, and the romantic personalized vow renewal ceremony written and performed by me, all for $1,650. And my packages for beach weddings in Laguna Beach are the most reasonable with the most benefits of any company on the internet. Now, perhaps the most moving of my vow renewals this year was for a couple who were at the 10th anniversary time in their marriage. And I have always said that 10 is the number of testing. If you make it to 10, you've passed your test. And in this couple's case, the test was a really hard one. The bride had been married before and had two boys. They were 12 and 14 when she and her current husband were married. Now, the husband had never been married before. And I don't know whether her boys kept any type of relationship with their real father, but they seemed to have a good relationship with their mother's new husband. And within the second year of the marriage, they had another son. And then the unexpected, the unexplained, the unimagined happened. Her oldest son committed suicide at 19 years old. At home, in his room, when no one was home, he shot himself. Now, the next 5 years of the marriage were very challenging as this woman went through the grief and the devastation of losing a child. There were so many unanswered questions. There was grief at so many levels. And there are just too many days when it seems you can't go on. So to help lessen the pain, the mother became active in the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and she participated in many out-of-the-darkness walks that the AFSP sponsors. And then she also works regularly on the Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-TALK. She firmly believes now in what Thomas Jefferson said a long time ago, who better to soften the wound of another than he who has suffered the wound himself. And as she began to help others, she found the strength to go on herself. And through it all, her husband and the father of their youngest son together stood steadfast by her side, loving her, holding her, comforting her, and as she put it, being her rock. And she chose for her music, "You're Still the One" by Orleans, and then "I Love You Always and Forever" by Donna Lewis. So "You're Still the One" is, "You're still the one that makes me laugh, still the one that's my better half. We're still having fun, and you're still the one. You're still the one that makes me strong. You're still the one I want to take along. You're still having fun, and you're still the one. Yes, you are. You're still the one that I love to touch. Still the one I can't get enough. We're still having fun, and you're still the one who will can scratch my itch. You're still the one I wouldn't switch. We're still having fun, and you're still the one. You're still the one that makes me shout. You're still the one that I dream about. We're still having fun. You're still the one. You're still the one. Yes, still the one. We're still having fun. You're still the one. And then I Love You Always and Forever by Donald Lewis is, I love you always forever, near and far, close and together. Everywhere I will be with you, everything I will do for you, I love you always forever, near and far, close and together. Everywhere I will be with you, everything I will do for you. Now, some of their answers to the questionnaire were, what attracted you to one another? And she said, his smile. And he said, she was beautiful to me, and she was very caring. And how is your marriage a good marriage? She said, he is my best friend, and I trust him with everything that I am and everything that I have. And he said, we enjoy each other's company, and we try our best to always be nurturing the relationship. And then they, what is the best and worst moment of the marriage? They both said, the birth of our youngest son and the death of our oldest son. Even the husband called the oldest son my son. You know, I was so deeply moved by this answer, not just because of the suicide situation, but birth and death. A birth and a death. A beginning and an ending. Cycles and rhythms. And what is in between we call life. But there is life before the birth. And there is life after the death. So what is in between is experience and adventure and sometimes the unexplained and the unexpected and the unimagined. And here's where our vows have meaning or they don't. Yeah, I was at the pool this week doing my laps, and while I was swimming back and forth, I was hearing one of the other people in the pool telling his life story to the lifeguard. Because sometimes, you know, lifeguards and bartenders and doctors and best friends serve as sounding boards for the injured and the hurting members of our society. And he was telling how when he was being really successful and making gobs of money and had the big house on the ocean and the yacht and everything, and then the crash came and he lost everything, including his wife. And he had to start over again at 50 years old. And there is the girl I play bingo with sometimes who was a cop and had a terrible motorcycle accident which left her permanently scarred and crippled and somewhat mentally slow, and her husband walked away. What about these vows, we say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for the rest of my life? Did the woman who was with the guy who had the big house on the ocean and the yacht say, for better, for worse, and only while the money's coming in bucketfuls? And did the man who was married to the cop say, only if you stay all in one place and smart and beautiful to me? In the vow renewal ceremony for the couple who lost her son to suicide, I said, Dawn and Kevin were married August 23rd, 2003. And during this time, they had of marriage together, they experienced the highest highs and the lowest lows, and they have maintained their desire to be together. Dawn and Kevin, these past 10 years have proved to the two of you that a successful marriage is not something that just happens all by itself. You have learned that each of you had to decide each and every day you wanted to stay married, and neither one of you could have possibly imagined how your original vows to one another 10 years ago would be tested. Who can know what for better or for worse really means? Who could know how bad it could get? A parent never thinks in terms of losing a child. The natural order of things is for the parent to give life to the child, and the child then grows up and says goodbye to the parent. It's so unnatural for a parent to have to give up a child. But the two of you stood together. You supported one another. You grieved together, and you went forward. And you comforted Brandon and helped him to catch this curved ball that was thrown at him. And you have been blessed to have Matthew come to be with you. And the soundness of your marriage has given all of you a blessed way to share your lives together, standing together to face life in the world, hand in hand, and still as a family. Now, Kevin wanted to give Dawn a new ring at this vow renewal, and she didn't see it until the moment we did the exchange of rings. And let me tell you, it was gorgeous. It was a bling bling that was just spectacular in the sunlight at the beach. And so at the ring ceremony, I said, both of you told me that you love each other's smile. And Dawn, you said you just cannot imagine life without Kevin. And Kevin, you say that your heart still races fast when you are close to Dawn. And I believe you have a special gift for Dawn at this time. And then I said, the precious metals of these rings will always remind you that your love is precious. And the unending circle will always remind you that your love will never end. And in looking forward to the future together, they both said, just being together with hugs and kisses, that's all we need. Now, another 25th anniversary vow renewal ceremony I did this year was for a couple who were originally married in the Philippines. They had met while they were both students at the University of Santo Tomas. Now, this couple also had a rough patch in their marriage, and they separated for a short time, although they did not get divorced. They just lived in separate places for a while they sorted out their feelings and desires and wants and needs as an individual. And I think that sometimes when we are married so young, we get into an experience of life as a couple. And the individual is sometimes lost in the desire to make things work and to get along together. And also, when we're young, we really don't know that much about ourselves. So we haven't really established our sovereignty as an individual. And then as we have life experiences and we get more in touch with the true, authentic self that we really are, we can start to question everything, including our relationships, and this can definitely affect a marriage. Now, in this case, because this woman went on to further her education and her ability to get employment was better than his, when they came to the U.S., she was able to make more money than he did. And this can sometimes be a source of losing respect and cause conflict and complaints. And you know what, a man just can't stand to feel like he isn't enough and that he can't make his true love happy. So they separated for a while. And in their questionnaire, this is what they said. We decided that we believe that marriage is not a commodity, that there is no such thing as a perfect marriage. We decided that we had a strong disposition to always try to make things work out, and we decided to strive to be happy in our marriage every day. And then she made a most amazing statement. And now we protect our marriage from all external hazards. Now we protect our marriage from all external hazards. Isn't that strong? I thought that what they became aware of here were such valuable revelations they had received as they weighed and measured their marriage. They decided that they could not measure the success of their marriage by money, like who earned what or how much they had. You know, although money is helpful to get things, things do not necessarily make us happy. And they decided that being together was what made them happy, no matter how much money they had. And then they acknowledged that neither one of them was perfect. Oh, to realize this, they had to begin to look at one another again the way they had looked at one another when they first met, in those idyllic young thoughts of love. In the questionnaire, he said he was originally attracted to her because of her beauty, and that he thinks she's still gorgeous, and she seems sophisticated to him. And he said that the things that he absolutely loves about her now is that she's still one hot mama, and that she's very intelligent and smart, and in her work she is professional and diplomatic. And as a person, she's very versatile, knowledgeable, and resourceful. And that she is a very strong woman, yet is very thoughtful and caring. And she said that she was originally attracted to him because she thought he was so handsome. And that he was very neat, and he dressed very well. And he had a great sense of humor. And today she says that he is a very giving person, that he's not selfish at all, he's charming and loving, and that he's very expressive of his feelings. He's not shy to show her how much he loves her, even in front of family and friends, and that he is a fun, 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 fun person. I could tell that she is by far the more serious of the two of them. And she's an extremely detailed and thorough person. And I told her she should consider being a wedding coordinator because she would make sure that everything was perfect for the bride. But she has begun to allow herself to be human. And she realizes that everything can't be perfect all the time. And that's where his spirit of fun comes in and makes everything okay, because laughter is the best medicine. And now this couple realizes that their extremes are really a great complement to one another. And it's really what makes their marriage a good marriage. And they vowed to cherish one day at a time for the rest of their lives together. That last question that I ask on my questionnaire is, how does your wife and husband make your heart sing? And this husband has a hobby of making music videos. He loves to dance the hula and sing. So he said, she makes my heart sing all the time, and I make up songs and lyrics, and I sing them to her because I love her so much. She is my better half. She is my life. And she said, he makes my heart sing when he sings me the song, How Can I Live Without You? And she said that he dances the hula and sings to her, and then she begins to feel romantic, and then he wants to be romantic, and they make love. And they both told me they're looking forward to growing old together. So in my 19 years, I've done many, many vow renewals, and sometimes it's a big to-do because on one of my 25th anniversary vow renewals a couple years ago, it was a huge affair because there were nearly 150 people who came, and this celebration was for 25 happy, happy, happy years together. No difficulties, no separations, no rough patches, just 25 years of happiness together, loving and being loved. And we did the ceremony down on the sand at the edge of the ocean in Laguna Beach. And then they rented a big hall and had a fancy sit-down dinner for everybody with a DJ and pictures and videos projected on a big screen and music and dancing into the night. I was invited to go to the party afterwards, and I just had a great time along with everybody else, because it was a grand and glorious celebration. And I have done vow renewals for just two people many times. They wanted to just be the two of them. No distractions, no interruptions, just the two of them, and the ocean, the seagulls, the blue, blue sky, and the photographer, and me leading them to say the important words they want to say to one another again. Occasionally they'll add in a musician, because it's very romantic to have a guitarist or a violinist playing in the background. And sometimes I will bring cake and champagne. And in this case, it ends up being me, the photographer, the musician, and Linda, my helper, setting up the table and tablecloth, the cake cutter, champagne, and champagne glasses for them. I have designed a beach celebration cake that has real shells on it. So whether it's a first, second, or third marriage, or if it's a vow renewal, the shell cake is a great way to add to the celebration. You know, there are many reasons to do a vow renewal, as there are vow renewal celebrations. In many, many cases, there's been an altercation in the marriage. Something has happened. In a lot of cases, there's been an act of infidelity on the part of one of the couples. And it isn't always the man. Mostly it is the man, but not in all cases. Now, I have very strong views about this subject, and perhaps I should do a separate radio show about this, because I can't get into all the dimensions of what actually constitutes an action that would break a marriage vow here. But suffice to say that if one party feels and perceives that a vow has been broken, then it is important for the parties to the marriage to feel that there should be some type of a new beginning with the indiscretions put in the past. And even if there hasn't been an infidelity, couples do reach rough spots in a marriage. In the two we talked about today, one actually did divorce, and the other one just separated for a time while staying legally married. I think it's very valuable for these couples to reestablish a firm foundation to continue their marriage. I always say to my couples, love lives on the foundation pillars of respect and trust. And see, with the Filipino couple, she temporarily and mistakenly lost respect for him because she began to make more money than he did, because her education was more valuable here in this country than his was. But then she realized that a marriage wasn't a commodity and couldn't be measured by money. And this realization allowed this couple, who loved each other very deeply, to reestablish a true and a sacred foundation for their marriage. But if trust is broken, it's much more difficult to reestablish a good foundation. You know, trust is sacred. Trust has an aspect to it of infallibility. And, of course, infallibility goes beyond being a human. In my marriage ceremony, I say, we are mortals. We are humans. We can make mistakes. So the infallibility and tension of trust is a really tough precept. It requires all of us to be perfect and never make mistakes. And secondly, trust makes us feel safe because we can rely on the other person. They're honest and sincere, open and pure, guileless. They tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But if we found out that we've been lied to and our trust has been violated, it's just a very difficult thing to reestablish the original infallibility we experienced with our true love at the beginning. So trust can only be reestablished with forgiveness. And forgiveness says, I love you, I forgive you, I forget this, and I will never speak about it again. Now, many times a couple will have broken trust in their marriage and they stay together, but that moment is never forgotten, and it's brought up again and again and used as a weapon of mass destruction in any future altercation. So the only way that trust can be firmly and securely reestablished is if the broken vow is forgiven and totally forgotten and never spoken about again. In all vow renewals where there has been a broken vow, and now the couple wish to restate their vows, I speak about forgiveness and forgetting. Because true forgiveness establishes a new time when what happened never happened. It's like you stop, rewind, and start again. And you say your vows again. And now is the new time. And now trust and respect support your love again. And in the case of the couple who lost the child, their vow renewal was to celebrate that they had survived. And many vow renewals are a testimony of survival, a celebration. We made it. We did it. We're still together. If I was going to be... Well, first of all, I'm not married, but if I was going to have a, my husband has passed, but if I was going to have a vow renewal, the song I would choose to play would be Tim McGraw singing, "It Just Keeps Getting Better." And to close my show tonight, I would like to play that song for you. And the words are, every time our eyes meet, this feeling inside me is almost more than I can take. Baby, when you touch me, I can feel how much you love me, and it just blows me away. I've never been this close to anyone or anything. I can hear your thoughts. I can see your dreams. And I don't know how you do what you do. I'm so in love with you. It just keeps getting better, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you by my side forever and ever. Every little thing you do, baby, I'm amazed by you. And so as you listen to this song, this is Marcy Ann saying goodbye. I'm going to be on vacation for the next 2 weeks, and I will see you then in the second week in November. Just keeps getting better. Just keeps getting better. Hope I can get this to play. Oh, dear. I'm amazed by you. Your skin, taste of your kiss, the way you whisper in the dark, your hair all around me, baby, you surround me, touch every place in my heart. When it feels like the first time, every time, I want to spend the whole night in your eyes. I don't know how you do what you do. I'm so in love with you. It just keeps getting better. I want to spend the rest of my life you by my side, forever and ever. Every little thing that you do, baby, I'm amazed by you. You by my side.